Well, welcome to another podcast on www.spirituality.org.za. You're listening to Dion Foster, and today I'm bringing you another pre-recorded talk. This talk comes from Dr. Jennifer Slater. Jenny is an academic here in South Africa. She is a Catholic and is a Dominican sister. And she serves as the Dean of Students of St. John Vianney Seminary, which is the national seminary of the Catholic Church in South Africa. And Jenny's also a member of the Council of the Theological Education by Extension College, and a very gifted person indeed, and I've come to know Jenny quite well. Now, Jenny was invited to speak to the John Wesley College Valedictory Service, the Leavers Service, for those students from our seminary who are about to go back into churches. And she chose to speak on the topic of an approach to the study of theology, ministry, and the devout life. And this is a wonderfully prepared talk, deeply researched, and it was truly well received and significant. I'd encourage you to listen to it. And if you've got any comments or questions, then please look us up on the website, www.spirituality.org.za. Just click on any of the blog links and that'll take you to where the podcast can be downloaded. Or if you'd like to drop me an email, you can do so at digitaldion@gmail.com. Well, Jenny will be up next with her talk.
Well, it's indeed a great privilege to be here with you this evening, and I thank your rector, Neville, and I thank your Dean of Studies for having invited me. I think I've come a long way since my time in Rhodes with my friendship with the Methodist community, and I always feel quite at home. But this is new to me. I've never been here, even though I only live across the valley, I'm a neighbor to the CSIR, and of course I work at St. John Vianney Seminary. May I avail of this opportunity to congratulate you for having come successfully thus far in your sacred studies in preparation for ministry. I hope for some of you this is only the beginning and not the end of your theological endeavors. No doubt it is your studies, assisted by your personal relationship with Christ, that brought you thus far. Studying theology and sacred scripture, when successfully done, is generally sustained by a deep, reflective spirituality. Theology is reflecting on God, it's reflecting on life, it is about reconciling opposites, it's about bringing things together in love, and studying sacred scripture and theology is above all a vocation of love. To do theology is the art of reflection. To illustrate this, I would like to put it in a kind of literary context for you. I do not know how many of you are familiar with the works of the Swiss-German author Hermann Hesse. He wrote a number of books, but the one I wish to refer to here is the one called Goldmund and Narcissus. The book centers on two characters, namely Goldmund and Narcissus, and their friendship. Narcissus was a teacher of Goldmund, who happened to be his favorite pupil. They had very different approaches to life. In fact, it was their actual differences that made them complementary to each other. Also, they reflected on their differences and on life issues. And because my topic to you tonight is to talk to you about theology as reflection, that I'm talking about them. Narcissus' approaches lie from a deep philosophical, intellectual, and meditative stance, and Goldmund from a passionate, sensual, impulsive, an artistic stance. They pursued their own ways of life. Narcissus remains in the monastery, pursuing and teaching the intellectual riches of theology and philosophy, while Goldman roams the country in pursuit of all sensual and artistic pleasure and of creation. In the end, they come together again, both reflected on life from their different perspectives, as indeed all of us should do, because, as Plato says, an unreflective life is not worth living. At one stage, Goldman reflected on why life is based on dualities and contrast. Why is one either a man or a woman, motivated by either reason or emotion? Why can't one breathe in and out at the same time? Why can't freedom and order, instinct and intellect exist simultaneously? Why must one element always pay for the loss of the other? He was of strong opinion that God could not have been the creator of both good and evil. Why then this dichotomy in human existence? In Narcissus' reflection, in turn, he verbalized the secret of integrating and reconciling life's duality and opposites. Reconciling or integrating the faculty of the mind and the faculty of the will, the world of thoughts and the world of images. He says, theology tells us that the perfect integrated image is God. The perfection of being is God, in whom there is no duality, no opposites, only love. God is not mixed, says Narcissus. God is one. Thus the simultaneous existence of dual opposites in oneself is brought about by love. The integration of opposites bring about wholeness. Just this morning I was teaching my fourth years on the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ and the struggles that went on trying to define how the two natures could be in Jesus, and it all had to do about wholeness, the completeness in love, the hypostatic union, of course. In the book, it becomes clear that the secret is the art of love, and therein lies the pains of integrating one's personal dualities, one's personal dichotomies, and we all have it. Both Narcissus and Goldman, though very opposite in character, one functioning through the intellect and the other through his senses, found their way to the meaning of the mystery of life with love as the means of reconciling the dichotomies of life. So too it is with the art of sacred studies. The study of theology, scripture and all others that you have done here, it is a vocation of love whereby we try to integrate all dualities by means of love. Studying theology is a vocation of reflection that impacts on the dualities of our personal lives. The two aspects of intellect and heart become one in successful theological reflection. So I hope that this type of integration formed part of the outcomes of your time spent here. From a personal point of view as a teacher of theology, I came to acknowledge that the art of teaching or learning theological sciences, in fact, is different from teaching and learning other sciences in this sense that the teacher of theology has an added responsibility, and that is to create a religious experience for the student. At the same time, there exists always the enduring realization and consciousness that the content of what is being taught is not conclusive, but open-ended, as the final answer always remains wanting and imperfect. This frame of mind is accompanied by the awareness that theological teaching also goes along with teaching a lot of unlearning. The preconceived ideas and views of students have often to be purified and examined, and often this sensitive process will have to be accompanied by the growing realization that life is bigger than individual opinions, and humility has to create an openness to new insights, and the virtue of detachment has to shape the way to growth in faith seeking understanding. While theologians are rightly called to teach, to preach, and write theology, they are in particular called to witness to the truth, not because it forms part of a profession, but because the discipline of doing theology offers to shape the theologian just as a theologian is prepared to be shaped by theology according to the discerned truths of the scriptures. I've also come to the understanding, and I believe it firmly, that theology and teaching theology has to become a genuine act of love, as I said before. The skills needed for theological studies, such as critical thinking, reflection, patience, humility, silence, and solitude, are to be rooted in the environment of love, as these principles are precisely the values that are devalued in current consumerist society and culture. It is all the more imperative that the ministry of teaching and learning theology requires being captivated by God. But for this to happen, both theologians and students have to make themselves available to the effective workings of God. This availability is what we Dominicans call contemplara et contemplata alias tradere. In English, to contemplate and to give of the fruits of one's contemplation to others. And hopefully this is what you are called to as future ministers in the church, to contemplate and to give of the fruits of your contemplation to others. Teaching and learning theology is contemplation in action, reflective attentiveness not only in the classroom but also at prayer, which can be summed up as the practice of fixing one's attention on God long enough so that one gains the wisdom of God. An absorbing reflectiveness for both teacher and student entails openness and receptivity. It demands waiting quietly and patiently, and it requires a kind of single-hearted vulnerability to something greater than ourselves that will ultimately lead to the transformation of ourselves. So to be in ministry and to teach theology and to learn theology, we have to spend that long attentiveness patiently and quietly waiting for transformation. A teacher of theology has to strive for the subject matter of theology to bring about the necessary transformation within the students and in oneself. When this moment of revelatory understanding breaks through for the student, it provides the teacher with a sense of amazing gratitude. The experience of spiritual breakthrough for the students is what I call the God moment in the ministry of teaching theology. And I have the humble experience of having seen that several times in my own students, when things godly just clicked. It is a moment of sheer grace and the humble realization that God is at work in the art of teaching things divine. This, however, cannot happen unless students cultivate attentiveness, patience, humility, and solitude, the elements that accompany theologically contemplative learning. To inculcate this reflective dimension of learning in learners has never been easy, and it is more difficult today, as contemporary people are usually reared in a distractive mode of life. Theology becomes credible to students when they see their teachers and people of the church living the gospel and the truths of theology with joy and sincerity. This encourages them to resist the consumerist and individualistic values of society, not because they want to be different, but because they have found value in Christ as presented to them in the art of learning theology. For this reason, teaching theology goes far beyond the prescribed curriculum. It is an education that provides vision for life and ministry. Another important virtue in the attitude is the attitude and disposition of hospitality, which enables students to approach the teacher or the minister with a sense of freedom and confidence. While retaining the ethic of professionalism, theological teachers have to risk letting students into their lives, and this can happen only if one is willing to listen. Hospitality begins with attentive listening. And as Palmer says, good teaching is an act of hospitality towards the learner. If one requires students to listen to our truth, as a teacher, one has to be prepared to listen to their truth with respect, as well as taking it seriously. In so doing, one sees the goodness of their otherness, and this in turn can enrich the life of the educator. While an essential dimension of the vocation of a theological teacher is to assist others in the process of personal growth and development towards wholeness, an essential aspect for the theological teacher is to remain open to be formed by what he or she teaches. Theological teaching and preparing people for ministry requires the all-encompassing contemplative mode that deepens the gift of understanding and wisdom. To become a strong vocational commitment to Christ with the professional demands of being a theologian while carrying out one's task with prophetic witnessing value remains a challenge. But I believe it is the pervasive contemplative approach that provides the required depth and authenticity to the teaching content of theology. I thus believe that if the vocation to teach theology is embedded in a lived response to God, the ministry of teaching will not only transform the personal life of the theologian, but also those whom he or she educates. That educators of theology, like all other teachers of sacred disciplines, are called to contemplate as well as to engage in the revealed mysteries of our Christian faith. When the theological teacher teaches in equal proportion to his or her reflective time, it can be guaranteed that he or she, without a doubt, will be a successful theological teacher, and for that matter, a successful minister. Another important point, and this is the final one I would like to make this evening, is the important learning for me in the theological teaching is aimed at assisting students to know and love God and to deepen their religious convictions. The religious vocation to teach theology, to learn theology, is supported by a certain quality of life. It is the immediate inspiration to those who are being taught. Sadly, this is often not realized amid competing fidelities to multiple vocational commitments, and as such, theological educators even grossly underestimate the holy ground on which they tread. Theological teachers need to instill in their students, by virtue of their personal witness, the need for solitude and prayer. And these spiritual activities are of vital importance to a committed theological life. A reflective life in support of theological teaching and learning is of vital importance, as the contemplative attitude is essential to give meaning to the vocation and identity of both theological teaching and learning. Aloneness with one's God and silence fosters the quality of heart that directs the person to the proper perspective and disposition from which to speak. An honest interior life determines and remains an important ingredient into the quality of both teaching and learning theology and ministering to people. I therefore sincerely hope that you have experienced something extraordinary in having studied theology, scripture, spirituality, at Wesley College. I also hope that it is the beginning of a journey towards reconciling personal dichotomies. I also hope that you will continue to read theology and even teach it one day. But I also hope that the God experiences that you had here at Wesley College will carry you in your ministry. That it remains a means of exploring and in reflecting on the mysteries of God and of life, and in so doing, you will continue to be transformed into the image of Christ, our risen Savior, so imminent in love to us all. And I wish you all the best, and may God bless you abundantly as you continue in your spiritual and ministerial journey in exploring the agony and the ecstasies of love that eliminate all personal dichotomies towards the journey of wholeness. Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Jennifer Slater as she has been addressing the John Wesley College Valedictory Service. Just to remind you that you are listening to this podcast from www.spirituality.org.za. Feel free to drop us a comment either on the blog directly or send me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to posting something again in the not too distant future. If you've got ideas of things that you'd like us to research and find out and discuss, or people you'd like me to try and record and contact, then just drop me a line and I'll be happy to see what we can do. Thanks very much for tuning in. God bless. Bye-bye.